Numbers chapter 11. Let's begin to read in verse 18. Numbers 11, verse 18. And the Bible says, "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out your nostrils." Well, that's a lot of meat, ain't it? "And it be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and ye have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" Now take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll begin to read in verse 4. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 4, I'll give you time to get there. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 4. Still here a few pages. The Bible says in verse 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways, nor now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and ask for this wonderful day. Lord, we thank you for your grace. And Lord, that it our sins erased. And Lord, we thank you for that today. That, Lord, our sins are no longer held against us because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done for us at Calvary. And Lord, I thank you for that this morning. And Lord, I no longer stand condemned, but I stand justified. And that before you, not because of anything that I've done, but I'm justified because of your grace. And Lord, we can't thank you enough for that this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd put a hedge out about this church and about our mind this morning and guard our thoughts, Lord, while we begin to preach here for a little while. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us clarity of mind and clarity of speech. Lord, that folk would understand and that the Word of God, that you'd open their heart and their ears also and act to the hearing of the Word of God. And Lord, we pray this morning, if there's one lost, save them. But if there's one in that kind of struggling, I pray that you'd help them in their struggle. But there may be one, and that, Lord, headed their own way. And I pray you'd help that one today to see their need and that to draw nigh unto you. Again, we pray in that for unction from the Holy One. Touch us and that from heaven today. And we'll give the glory for it all. Thank you for everyone that's here. Might they receive a blessing. Help us now. Save that sinner's nearest tail. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. You take your Bible and go back to the book of Numbers. But I'm going to be preaching between these two passages for just a little while this morning on having a thought of when it all runs out at your nostrils. My wife said, I told her what I was going to preach on. She said, "What a wonderful title that you have this morning." And I believe she was being a little facetious. And she said, for the first Sunday for Miss Beverly to be back, and you want to talk about stuff running out of people's nostrils this morning. But listen, when we look at this, I want to preach on, no joke, when it all runs out your nostrils, or the thought that when God gives you what you want. Now, we preach Wednesday night on a God that meets our needs. And ain't you glad that we serve a God that meets our needs? Boy, I'm telling you, he's a wonderful God. And we sing that out of the book of Philippians. But we find right here that there are times in our life that, friend, if we want to push our own way and go our own direction and do our own thing, God will eventually say enough is enough and give us what we want. And I believe we can see that with the children of Israel right here. In these two passages of scriptures, you find that, first of all, they wanted meat, and God was feeding them and that with manna. Now, do you realize that God was taking care of them? They weren't starving to death. God was making sure everything was okay. Listen, they didn't have to want for anything. If you read in the Old Testament, you'll find out as they went, God didn't let their clothes wear out. God didn't let their shoes wear out. As their feet grew, their shoes just stretched and out with them. God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Every morning he led. When the dew fell off the ground, manna was out there. And it was like, the Bible said, a coriander seed, or like, and that to angel's food. And the Bible said right there in this chapter that it was the color of bdellium, which is like a pearl. And so there's white pieces of bread that the Bible said tasted like fresh oil. And all they had to do is go out there in the morning and gather it up. But yet that wasn't good enough for the children of Israel. And so can I say, number one this morning, we see their problem. Every one of us has got a problem from time to time. And you know what the problem is? Us. We're the problem. God ain't the problem. Church folk ain't the problem. God's people ain't the problem. But we're the problem. By the way, listen, we might want to go back to Wednesday night and shout it out there, because we probably ain't going to shout it out a whole lot this morning. But I want you to look. They had a problem. Now look in verse 4 in the book of Numbers chapter 11. And the Bible said, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now remember, God's been feeding them and that with manna, but they fell a-lusting and they remembered what they had down in the land of Egypt. If you read all this, if you read in the next verse, he said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. They were tired of what God was giving them. And they wanted flesh. They wanted flesh. They wanted and that meat to eat. Something that they had remembered down in the land of Egypt. It's not that they wanted meat to eat because the manna wouldn't fill them up. They wanted meat to eat because they were remembering what they had when they were in bondage. God had set them free and made them free, and that from Egypt. And I'm afraid a lot of times that church folk and saved folk are in the same boat. Just like the children of Israel, they begin to remember some things about their old life and say, boy, it's a little easier back then. We had a little more, maybe a whole lot more. Listen, it's been better for my life ever since I got saved, friend, than it ever was when I was lost. Amen. Hey, listen, he's the one that's been good to me. I ain't always done right. I ain't always been right. I ain't always been good to him, but he has always been good to me. Listen, he brought him up. Can't you say amen right there, church? Amen. He brought him up out of the land of Egypt. I brought him out with a strong and mighty hand. I brought him through. And boy, they got on the other side of the Red Sea. They were singing over in Exodus chapter 15 about what God done. And in the very next chapter, they were murmuring. Or actually, in that chapter, they were murmuring about what God was not doing for them. The Bible said they fell a-lusting. That word lusting means a longing desire. You know, one of the problems that this generation always had was Egypt. Moses, bless his heart, I don't know how he dealt with them and put up with them as long as he did, but they always had a longing desire and that for Egypt. As a matter of fact, if you go to chapter 14, you'll find out that they were going to make them a captain to go back to Egypt. They'd had enough. They had been over into the promised land. They had looked at the promised land. And they said, man, we're just like grasshoppers in our sight. The sons of Anak are over there. There's giants in the land. And we can't do anything about it. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. But nevertheless, they're too big for us. And boy, what the Bible tells us, when they went in, and those 10 out of 12 spies said, we can't go in, we can't fight, and we can't win. The hearts of the people melted. And they wouldn't go. And so you find right here, and said in chapter 14, and in verse after, they murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. All the time, the children of Israel wanted to go back and go back and go back. You'll find in Exodus chapter 16, they said over at one point, they said after they murmured against Moses and Aaron again, and the children of Israel said to them, would God that we'd died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Hey, listen, God delivered them and that out of Egypt, because in Exodus chapter 2, they cried unto the Lord because of the hard bondage they were under. God heard their cry and listen, looked down upon them and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they cried to come out of Egypt, but when they come out of Egypt, it wasn't exactly like they thought. Can I tell you, there's a lot of times we get in our mind how serving God ought to be. And that we ought to be able to have this and things and stuff and all that. And listen, I don't think God is against us having stuff. I think God is against us having what's going to hurt us. And you say, well, God was against them having meat. No, God was against them having meat because of the remembrance of Egypt. That's what God was against. God wasn't against them having that quail. He was against them murmuring against Moses and Aaron. He was against them murmuring and that against himself. And they said, this manna is not good enough. Instead of being thankful for what God had given them, they were unthankful. You know why God will give you some stuff till it runs out your nose sometimes? Because we were not thankful for what he had already gave. You didn't see them look up to heaven and say, Lord, I want to thank you for this manna that you give us. Now, I'm sure eating, I mean, I know my flesh, I like a good piece of steak every now and again. And I like chicken. I like quail. We used to have quail all the time. I like quail. It's good. But what their problem was is they just never thanked God for what he had gave them. He brought them up out of the land of Egypt. He took care of them. He watched over them. He protected them. When the enemy come out against them, he allowed them to win in the battle. And all these things, and never one time did they look up to heaven and say, I want to thank the Lord. So God was a little irritated with Israel. Would you go that far this morning that he was mad at them? I would think that he's mad at them because they've sat over here and they have murmured, and what they're wanting to do now is instead of thanking the Lord for what he done, instead of praising him for all that he's done, now they're concerned and that about their flesh, what they want, how they can meet their flesh. What was it, that lusting? They felt a lust, that desire, that eagerness to possess and to enjoy. They had no desire for the things of God. You go over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8 where we read over there, they wanted a king, didn't they? They had no desire for God to reign over them. And they said, Samuel, make us a king. Give us a king. So their problem was is they didn't thank God, and they were rejecting God from being over them. They were rejecting what was best for them and what they needed more than what they, or they rejected it and was taking what they wanted. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. We got to be very careful about that. You know, God does have a plan. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist nor Calvinist on top of that, but I do believe that God's got a plan for our life. And I believe we can foul that thing up sometimes. You say, well, whatever's going to be, is going to be. No, that ain't true. Because if you go over and you look at David's life, David was over there around some people one time over in the city of Keilah, over in the nation of Keilah. You know what he said? He said, I believe that Saul was after him at that time. And he said, Lord, he said, is Saul, he got the ephod, I believe it was, and he began to ask the Lord some things. He said, Lord, he said, is Saul going to come down here to Keilah and try to get me? And the Lord said, yeah, he's going to come down here. And you know what David said? David said, Lord, will the people of Keilah give me up to Saul? And the Lord said, yeah, David, they're going to give you up to Saul. Now, there's two ways to look at this thing. If you're a hyper-Calvinist, then you have to say, well, David didn't have a choice. He might as well just ate drunk and been merry and sat there all night and waited for Saul to show up because he was coming. You know what David done? He packed his stuff up. He loaded up. He got out of town. Why? God said, they're going to give you up, David. You know, the path we choose is what's going to get us in trouble sometimes. And the path we choose is what's going to bring the blessing of the Lord upon our life. Let me tell you, the path you choose is very important. He said, what happens if I chose the wrong path? Hey, I had a feller talk to me one time, and I ain't never forgot this. And to be honest with you, it had to be the Lord that helped me, because I'm going to tell you, your preacher ain't this smart, you know. But the whole time he was talking, I was praying. And he was worried. He was worried about how his marriage started. He was worried about that thing because, you know, he'd been married to one lady, and they'd ended up getting a divorce, and he'd met this other lady, and he said that thing didn't start exactly right there. And he told me the story, and I don't want to go through all that, but, you know, as I was standing there listening to all that, and he's trying to serve God, and I hope his family is, and the Lord, he just kind of opened my eyes on some things, and here's what I told him, and I believe this was right. You can't help how some things started. But you can't help how they end. That things may not always start right, but you can make sure that they end right. And you can't worry about how things started when time's already passed and they've already started. You can't worry about that. But what you can do is say, Lord, I don't believe, or I know this didn't start right over here, but I want to live for you. I want to serve you. And Lord, would you just let it end right? That's all I want to do. Let's let this thing end right. So right here, the children of Israel, they had fell a-lusting. In the book of 1 Samuel, they wanted to be like everybody else. If you go over there and look, you'll find that they told Samuel, they said, make us a king like everybody else. You make us a king like every nation around us. You better be careful about wanting to be like everybody else. Everybody else ain't got the Lord all the time. But we need the Lord on our side. They were rejecting God from being over them. They rejected God in their life until they needed Him. I thought about this morning while I was looking over this message. There's a lot of people don't want to do what God wants or the path for their life. But boy, when things begin to get in shambles and fall apart, then they call on the Lord, don't they? You better be careful about trying to do things your way. Because I'm going to tell you what, they may not always be God's way. And you're going to end up with meat coming out your nostrils. You better be careful about the job you take. It'll get you away from the Lord. I've watched that happen over the years. Money. Folk more concerned with money than they were with serving God. I know we got to have money. I'm not preaching against money. I'm preaching against the love of money because it's the root of all evil. But some people, they focus on that thing. Their job takes them away from serving God. Hey, you better be careful who you're running with, your friends, who you're trying to have for a mate, or who you wanting to be friends with. You better be careful. Better be careful about, these men looking at other women and saying, boy, I'd like her to be my wife. And they'll leave their wife just to make her their wife. Sometimes it ain't what you think it's going to be, friend. Sometimes men do that, and sometimes women do that and say, boy, I'd like to have him for a husband. He seems like a good husband. And next thing you know, you've got two homes that's broke up. And it ain't always turning out the way you think it's going to be, friend. New jobs, new cars, more money. Want what the world wants or what the world has. My mom, bless her heart, as I studied this message this week, I thought about my mother. She tried her best to always point me in the right direction. And at 15 and 16 and 17, Brother Jeff, I don't think I got any sense till I got about 25. Gunner looked up at me right then. Yeah. I'm not saying you might not have sense. I'm just saying I'm not sure that I got any till I was about 25. And bless her heart, I know she tried, and she had tried to direct. And I remember some of the things that she had told me. And I listened, trying to guide and push me in the right direction. And you know what I'd do a lot of times? I'd just buck up. And even though I was saved, but I wanted to do my own thing and go my own way. You know, the Bible says, David did in Psalms 37. We'll look at some of this tonight. Probably won't preach on this scripture, but I'll preach out Psalms 37, good Lord willing. But he said, I've been young, now I've old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. But you know, I'm 45 years old. Hunter, how old are you?
22.
Do you know that I've been 22 before? I have. I've been 22 before. I know what it's like to be 22. Hannah, how old are you?
20.
I've been 20 before. I know what it's like to be 20. Madison, how old are you?
12.
I've been 12 before. I know what it's like to be all those things. I've been young, and I won't say I'm old, but I'm older than that. And some of you are older than me this morning. And you know what it's like to have been there. Do you know I've been 12 for a whole year? You ain't even been 12 for a whole year. I know what it's like to have been 12 for a whole year. 22 for a whole year. I know what it's like. What I'm trying to get at is sometimes there's some people that will try to point you in some directions. And you don't think they mean the best in the world, but they really do. And sometimes they're just trying to keep you out of trouble sometimes. Mom and dads are good for that this morning. They try to keep their, you should be trying to keep your children out of trouble this morning. But I want you to look, the problem was they wasn't wanting to follow God and what God wanted, but they wanted to follow the self. But then number two, look at the protest. Did you see what God told Samuel to do in verse 9? He said, now therefore hearken unto their voice. Give them a king. He said, hearken unto their voice. He said, give them a king. That's what they want, so give them one. But look at what he said to do. He said, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. He said, Samuel, he said, go out there and tell them we're going to give them a king. But said, but you protest every step you make, and you tell them why they're wrong. And you tell them what's going to happen. Read down through here with me in verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord and the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields. Going to take everything, ain't he? He's going to take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give them to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Let me stop right here. You know, when we get what we want sometimes, it takes everything from us instead of giving us something, don't it? Did you notice that right there? They said, we want a king. And God said, give them a king, Samuel. But you solemnly protest. You protest solemnly. And you show them what kind of king that they're going to have. And did you notice that everything that he told them, he said, he's going to take from you.
He's going to take your sons and daughters. He's going to take your fields. He's going to take your vineyards. He's going to take your olive yards. He's going to take your seed. He's going to take a tithe of you. He's going to take your men servants, your maid servants. Everything you've got will not be yours no more. I think Israel had it pretty good before they got a king. All they had was a judge, and that in Samuel. All they had to do is go up and worship out there in Shiloh at the tabernacle. But now they're asking and that for a king. But he said, you protest. Can I tell you that when we get headed in our own direction, God always protests, don't he? He always protests. You know, we're living in a time when we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. Has he ever protested on you? He's protested on me before. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? Now, let's be honest. It's a little funny sometimes. It's a little funny because here's the thing. We'll get headed in our own direction. I'm going to try not to get too close to you. We'll get headed in our own direction. And this is a great thing about the Lord. I believe when Samuel was protesting, and I believe when Moses was over there telling them, look, you're not only going to have it 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, 10, 20, but 30 days. I believe after he said all that, they could have fixed what was wrong. I believe that when Samuel protested and said, this is what's going to happen. This is the way that we're going to go. If you get a king and you want a king and go your way, then this is what's going to happen. I believe they could have stopped. I believe they could have said, we were wrong. We shouldn't be going this way. This is something we don't need to be doing. That is a great thing about repentance. That is a great thing about the Lord, is he'll let us stop dead in our track where we are and turn around. Can I say that even if you get headed in the wrong direction, you can stop where you're at and turn around and draw nigh to God. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful this morning? I'm glad that he lets us have forgiveness. He wants to forgive us. Boy, I'm telling you, he does and wants us to fix things with him. But he said, I want you to protest. He said, I want you to protest. You tell them. Listen, Moses come down there and said, you'll not eat one day, but you'll eat for a whole month. He said, till it comes out your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you. They're loving it right now. They're wanting it. But Moses said, there's going to come a day that meat's going to be loathsome unto you. You're going to hate it. What you once loved and once desired, you're going to hate it. You ever been there before? Let me just park right here. There's enough of us in here old enough. There's some of us that have went our way a time or two. There's some of us, if we'd be honest, we've kind of went our way a time or two and messed things up. But listen, and by the time we got what we wanted, it wasn't near what we thought it was going to be. He said, but you're going to have flesh. He said, you're going to have flesh. And he said, here's why. Because you've wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? I'm going to tell you, we need to be protesting about some things. Samuel got over and got to protesting. Got to tell Moses, got to protesting, basically. You know what? Some of you mom and dads need to be protesting with your kids. I'm talking about as they get older, too. I mean, as they get older, listen, you may not be able to stop them from doing what they're doing, but you ought to be protesting. You ought to say, hey, you're headed in the wrong direction. You need to stop. You need to think about some things. Preachers ought to be protesting. I don't preach mean and hard all the time, do I? I don't think I do. I did Wednesday night. Y'all should have been here. You can watch it on YouTube or go sermon audio. Hear it on the radio. It was on the radio this morning, as a matter of fact. But you know, people feel that when you're telling them that what they're doing is wrong and you've got Bible to back it up, they think you're mean. Some of you think the way that I preach sometimes, because I'm trying to keep you out of trouble and keep your kids out of trouble, you think I'm mean. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to even be perceived as mean. These law preachers, I know they want to be perceived as mean. I don't want to be perceived that way. I want to be perceived for the very fact that you think and know that I love you and want to tell you the truth. That's why your mom and dad does that. It's because they love you and they want to tell you the truth. That's why your Sunday school teacher tells you the truth, because they love you. Wouldn't you rather have somebody tell you the truth than to lie to you?
Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. I'd rather have somebody just tell me the truth and it hurt me. Or at least I thought it hurt me. Than for them to let me go on down the path that I'm going and get further on down the road and it does hurt me. Now here's the thing about it. You can tell people the truth and I can preach the truth. And Sunday school teachers can teach the truth. And mom and dad can tell their children the truth. And you can try to stop them. But you know, if somebody is just bent on going in their direction, they're going to go. And the only thing you can do is pray for them and say, Lord, don't let it be bad. Don't let it be near as bad as what it could be. Until you can get their eyes open. Would you rather see somebody hurt? Or would you rather have somebody mad at you? Because I'll be honest with you, they might come around. And Samuel was trying to protest. And he wanted to get them to understand what was going to happen. But I want you to look. I want you to look in verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 8. This word right here. Very, very important. This word. Verse 19. You know what it says? The very first word? Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, what Samuel told them. Nevertheless, of what he warned them of, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. We're going to have it our way. You go back and you find that number three, you see the problem, and then you see the protest, but now we see the performance of what God had told them. If you go back to Numbers chapter 11 and begin to read in verse 31, and about now, Moses, if you read these other passages of scriptures between verse 20 and verse 31, one, Moses had handled all he could handle. And he told God that. He said, Lord, I've handled it all. I can't carry these people no more. And he said, you're going to have to help me. So God set out 70 men out there and took the spirit off, some of the spirit off Moses and put on those 70 men to help him carry the load. And in all that, Moses said, Lord, how can you feed all these? He said, we've got 600,000 footmen. In other words, we've got 600,000 men that's ready to fight, plus their women and their children. How are you going to feed us for 30 days? If you look at verse 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. So just stand back and watch. So we get down to verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp. And it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. Now let me stop right here. And I want you to get this in your mind, what God has done. If the camp was standing right in the middle where they are, then God all the way around that camp made quail fall everywhere a day's journey. You know how far a day's journey was? 24 miles. And so for 24 miles that way, and 24 miles that way, and that way, and that way, there was quail laying on the ground. You know how deep it was? The Bible says it's 2 cubits. You know what 2 cubits is? 3 feet. So for 24 miles, 24 miles, 24 miles, 24 miles, 3 foot deep was standing quail. And the Bible said, if you go on and read, let's read just a little more because I want you to get this here. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day and they gathered the quails and he that gathered least gathered 10 homers. Now, do you know how much 10 homers are? 1 homer is 6 bushels. 1 bushel of apples is a lot of apples, ain't it? You know how much 1 bushel weighs, or supposed to weigh? 70 pounds. He said he got 10 homers. That's 60 bushels. Now, he said the least. Do you know how much 60 bushels weighs? 4,200 pounds. So the man that brought the least in brought in 4,200 pounds of quail. God said, you're going to eat it till it runs out your nose. And he said, it'll be loathsome to you. He said, they done what? He said, they stood all day and they stood all night and they stood all day bringing in that quail.
Would you have to say they got more than what they bargained for? How many of us has ever been there? Got more than what we bargained for. We wanted it. We really wanted to have it. But boy, by the time we got it. You remember that message that I preached years and years ago out of the book of Proverbs? By taking the dog by the ears. You know, you take the dog by the ears. You can't turn him loose. And you can't hold him forever. So you take the dog by the ears. Sometimes you get more than what you bargained for. And I believe that's what Israel has done. They've got more than what they've bargained for. They got what they wanted, but they could not enjoy it. You know, when we do our own way and do our own thing and go and do, and God gives us what we want, sometimes we just can't enjoy it, can we? The quail, I want you to notice, it was right away. God sent it right away, didn't he? They wanted meat. God said, all right, you got it. You can have it. And blowed it right in there. I want you to look at something. Keep reading with me in verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. There was judgment came because of it. Take your Bible and go back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. We see the quail. More than what they bargained for. It came right away. You know that old saying, you better be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. Got to be careful sometimes. They said, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. What had God already been doing for them? Had God not already took care of them? Had God not already fought their battles for them? And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. I said, all right. If that's what you want, I'll make you a king. The thing about the king right here is he warned them, told them what was going to come. So if you read the next few chapters, they choose Saul to be their king. God appoints Saul. Samuel goes down there and anoints him. And listen, it didn't happen overnight, but everything that Samuel told them was going to happen, that's exactly what happened. He took their lands. He took their men servants and their maid servants and their sons and their daughters. He took their food. He took everything that they had. And they become subjects in that under their king. Go back and read. It may not have happened right away, but it happened. I'm determined this morning, church, if we just keep on keeping on in the direction that we want to go. Now, listen, I hope that none of us is that way and that it's all a warning to every one of us. But I'm going to tell you, I'm prone to go my way sometimes. And I'm prone to do what I want to do sometimes. Have you ever just done something and you said, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. You ever done that? Have you ever done something and said, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. And then you think back and you say, well, somebody warned me about that. He said, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. They didn't want God to reign over them. They wanted a man that they could look to. And that's what happens with us today sometimes if we're not careful. We don't make somebody else our king. We make us our king. And we rule and reign in our own life. And that's what gets us in trouble. Can I tell you that if you're lost today, that's what you're doing. You're ruling and reigning in your own life. You know what? There's going to come a day. Going to come a day that you're going to meet an almighty God. And if you meet him lost, it's done too late. But you know the great thing about the Lord today? He'll let anybody that's lost come and repent and get saved. Let's bow our heads today across the house.